Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to be in verses 1 through 9. So the outline I've been going off of that Pastor Brian preached through Ephesians a few years ago, he titles this passage, Wax Strong in Christ. I don't know if your guys' Bible has like headers at the top of different sections and stuff or different passages. Mine for this section says, The Domestic Life of Spirit-Filled Believers as Children and Servants. I think either one of those is a good title for this section. You know, this section deals with maybe the most practical thing for your guys' age, for really for any age, but specifically for you guys as teenagers or as children still. So if you've been around kids ministry for any length of time, you know Ephesians chapter 6 verses 1 and 2. They teach it in the E-Wing. Your parents have probably told it to you. If your parents are church people, they've reminded you of this verse. So we're going to read 1 through 9. So I'll read 1, then we'll just popcorn it around the room. So if you get it, read it loud. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Isabel.
Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Jackson F.
And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master is also in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him.
All right, so this passage talks about different relationships. Talks about children and their relationship to their parents. Talks about fathers to their children. Talks about servants to their masters and masters to their servants. All of those things are different pictures of our relationship with God in different stages of life. And those are all different stages that many of you will find yourselves in. Obviously, the ladies in here will not be fathers. But other than that, you know, most of us will probably go through all of these stages at some point. We all were children. Many of you, most of you are still children. Some of you will be fathers. We all will work for somebody at some point. Maybe at some point also you'll be in charge of other people. And so it's important to know how to handle those things and what God's word says about how we're supposed to behave in those different relationships, depending on which point that we're at. So you know, for the first 18 years of your life, you fall in those first two verses about children obeying your parents. And so God's really clear and simple in what he says, but it's not maybe so easy to obey the thing that he says or to follow what he says or to apply what these verses are telling us, even though it's easy to understand. Children, obey your parents. Okay, that's not complicated. Lost people can understand that. Saved people obviously should understand that. You know, the Bible is clear about what the expectation is for children when it comes to their parents. They're supposed to obey them. And then in verse 2, it tells them to honor their father and their mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And so while it's basic and easy to comprehend, I don't think any of us really need deeper explanation on what God's trying to tell us there. But applying it is difficult. And it's a lifelong struggle to understand the or have the ability to submit to authority. And so as kids, you start learning that by submitting to the authority that you have. The first, 5 to 10 years of your life, I won't say it's easy because, the first several years, you're still trying to understand and learn you know, and so it's the instructions and the obedience is just don't touch that, don't do that. It's a lot of no, don't do this. It's a lot of listen. It's a lot of, you know, stop, whatever. You know, as we're trying to teach kids, like little kids, how to, you know, navigate through the world. But when people get to your age, whether you're in middle school or high school, like around your guys' age, it, you know, the obedience part, it shifts because, you know, you guys, can think for yourselves and you guys are, starting to become or are more independent and, maybe thinking that you need less, you know, direction or less, obedience to your parents. And, that it's probably the exact opposite, of that, even though, that sounds a little bit counterintuitive. So we're going to go over that a little bit. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, you don't have to turn there, but it says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And, you know, so a lot of times I think, when people get to your guys' age specifically, you know, you kind of start to feel like, for one, you want more freedom and independence, right? You want more ability to do things on your own. A lot of you guys are starting to drive or getting close to being able to drive. Some of you guys have jobs. You know, when you get into middle school, you're even just like your class schedule changes. You know, you're not in the same class. You're not with the same people all the time. Like things, start to change. You start to get more independence. And so I know a lot of times, for some of you guys who have wanted to be like, involved in ministry or be able to do different things, sometimes it's like understanding that there are some limits, and the Bible does tell us though that, like, don't let anybody despise your youth. Like, don't take that you're young as a bad thing. You know, God can still and does still want to use you. And so there's tons of examples of young people in the Bible. You know, a few that we know their story or at least things about them. Joseph, you know, he was young when his brothers, you know, turned on him and sold him into slavery. David was young when he first, showed up on the scene and fought Goliath. Esther was young when she, you know, became the queen. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, you guys know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Them and Daniel, they were all taken as young people, probably teenagers or preteens from their home into Babylonian captivity. You got Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, and Mary. Brian talked about that Sunday before last on Mother's Day. He was talking about Mary, you know, Jesus' mom, and how she was likely pretty young. And then we even see Jesus, you know, we don't see anything about him, outside of his birth up until he's 12 years old. And then we don't see him again until he's 30. And so, but, you know, we do see him at 12 years old. And so obviously he's the perfect example of everything, but, all of those people in the Bible, when we first meet them, they're all probably teenagers, give or take, you know, plus or minus a couple of years. Of course, Jesus was 12, but, and the rest of them were, you know, maybe early 20s, but they're all about the same age as you guys. And so God, throughout the Bible, uses young people to do things. And so, you know, being young doesn't mean that, God doesn't want to or is not capable of using you. You know, these guys were obviously used in like a large scale way that impacted history. But, you know, God can use you guys in all kinds of ways. You can impact eternity, by sharing the gospel with people, right? If you tell somebody about Jesus and they get saved, you've made an impact on eternity. For that person specifically, that person now, is on their way to heaven in part because you shared the gospel with them. And so we can make big impacts, in the way that we live our lives, no matter what our age is. But being able to, have an impact for the kingdom of God in a positive way, requires first that we obey our parents, that we learn, to submit to authority in our life. So when we grow up with the authority in our life being our parents, you know, it's important that we understand how to navigate in that world and to be able to, listen to and take instruction and to be able to, especially when it's something that we don't want to hear or don't want to do, and to be able to take what is being told to us and to obey it even when we don't understand it or don't like it or whatever. And so God uses this, this example of children obeying their parents, to start small. You know, the younger you are, the easier, the smaller it is to start with. But, Luke chapter 16, verse 10, Lincoln, what does that tell us?
That if you're faithful in little, then you'll be faithful in much, but if you're unjust in little, then you'll be unjust in much.
Yeah. So God puts this verse in there. So I think this is the only, commandment in the Bible specifically to children. Okay, so obviously there's lots of things as Christians that the Bible directs us and commands us to do. But specifically to children, I believe this is the only commandment in the Bible to you guys, based on your age. And so when Luke chapter 16:10 tells us that if we're faithful with the little things, okay, obedience to our parents or obedience to your parents is, a little thing, in a lot of ways. But when we're faithful with that, when you can do that thing, when you can start to obey your parents, especially when you don't understand it, or especially when it goes against what you want, or even when they may be wrong about something, submitting yourself to authority, the authority of your parents, God's going to bless that. And when you're faithful with that, then God's going to be able to and is going to bless you to give you more opportunities to be faithful with other things. And so if you guys are taking notes, you can write this down. This is kind of the main point. How you behave outside of this building says way more about you than how you behave inside this building. So I know, like, when we're at church, we sometimes put on a different face, or we act differently than we act anywhere else. And so obedience, like in this building, hopefully, like you're obedient to your parents, you're obedient to me or Nick or Brenda or Kendra or Phil or Meredith or whoever, right? If an adult in this building tells you to, stop doing something, hopefully you're obedient to that person because you have your church front on. But how you behave outside of this building, when you're home, when you're at school, when you're by yourself, when you're around your friends, like all of those things, say a lot more about you than how you act when you're here. Okay. And so, it's important that, as this passage starts off talking about obeying our parents, that's how you behave outside of church. That's how you behave in your home, right? And like, it's important to think about and to consider, how we behave, in our homes and how we act towards our parents. And so, like, as you guys are reaching the ages that you are, you guys all probably have figured out that your parents don't know everything, okay? That your parents aren't always right. We don't always have, like, well thought out reasons for exactly why we do things the way we do them. Like, my kids will ask me stuff, and sometimes I just say no, and they're like, why? And I'm like, well, I don't know. I just, because I said so. Like, have your guys' parents say, because I said so? It's like a really annoying thing to say or to hear, because I said so, because there's not really anything you can, like, say to that, right? I mean, like, well, how do you come back at something like that? It's because I said so. Okay, well, if there's a reason, like, that you can't, maybe there's something you could do to change their mind or something. But if the reason is because I said so, then it kind of stops there. And so, parents don't have all the answers all of the time, right up front. And so sometimes that's, can be frustrating, but it's important that even in those situations that you obey your parents. Like, it's a safety net. It's a covering that God has given you. It's protection that He's given you that, you don't have to know the reasons why. You don't have to know, you don't even have to agree with the reasons. But obedience to those reasons, but obedience to what they've said is the goal. It's not about, the why necessarily. Now, obviously, depending on the relationship that you have with your parents and the rules in your own household, like I tell my kids, like, don't argue with me about stuff. But if you have something else to contribute to the conversation that, is different or that you think might impact my decision, then obey first. And then after you've obeyed, then we can talk about it. Like, if I say no and then they come right back at me and argue back, like a lot of your parents, the answer is going to be definitely no, right? And like, we're not going to budge on that. But at least in my house, I can't speak for all of your parents, but at least in my house, like, if the answer is no and they say okay and they move on and they come back later and say, hey, what do you think about this? Or if I did this, would that change anything? Like, I'm going to be a lot more open to that at my house. But the importance is the obedience. Like, all of us parents are trying to instill in you guys obedience because it has an impact on the way that you live the rest of your life. Like, you're always going to be under somebody's authority. So right now it's your parents. As you get to be an adult and get out on your own, especially, the authority shifts. It's not your parents anymore. Now you still honor them and respect them. Like, I don't obey my parents anymore necessarily. Like, they don't have authority over me, but I still seek, like, their counsel about things. I still talk to them about my life. Like, I definitely still honor their role as my parents, even though I'm not in their household anymore. So, but you're always going to be under authority. It's going to be teachers at school. It's going to be teachers in college. It's going to be a boss at work. It's going to be the law. It's going to be, you have to deal with, you know, municipalities and governments and things like that. You deal with, if you get involved in ministry at any level, you're going to have somebody that's over you in ministry, and they're going to do something a certain way that you're not going to agree with. You're not going to like it the way that they do it, and you want to do it a different way. And even if none of that is the case, we're all under authority to God, right, or under God's authority. So, like, no matter what, we're always going to be under authority. And depending on the stage of life that you're in, sometimes you'll have some authority over other people, but we're always going to be under some kind of authority. And so it's important, the lessons that you learn when you're living in your household, whether you agree with them or not, like, obeying your parents is the priority, because it teaches you how to live life outside of your house, like beyond your home, beyond your childhood. And you know, it doesn't really always matter if your parents are right about things, or even if they are maybe not worth obeying, they're still your parents, and so they've been put in that position. God knew your parents, and he knew you before any of you guys were born, and he still wrote this passage to us. Nick talked last Wednesday night about the last several verses of chapter 5, and he talked about husbands and wives, and like the relationship between a husband and a wife, and the wife is to, in marriage, the wife is to do what to her husband? The husband's supposed to love the wife, and the wife is supposed to what? Huh?
Follow.
Yes, there's another biblical word for that. Well, yes, another different biblical word for that. Huh?
Submit.
Yeah, wives are supposed to submit to their husbands. Husbands are supposed to love their wives. Huh?
Reverence.
Yeah, reverence also. That, the, when we do like marriage conferences, and like when Jason taught on marriage over the last several Wednesday nights, with the adults, we talk a lot about that word submit, and the importance of that, right? Like, it does not mean that husbands rule over their wives with an iron fist and it's do whatever I say all the time. But sometimes wives have to submit to their husbands and follow along even when their husbands are being idiots and are doing the wrong thing. God protects them by saying, hey, your job is not to lead and correct and fix the wrong thing that he's doing. Your job is to submit. And by submitting, you know, if the husband is saved, especially, that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to that guy and say, hey, you're messing up, but even though you're messing up, look at your wife. Look at the wife that is following right along behind you and is submitting to your leadership, even though your leadership is wrong. Like, in a husband who's right with the Lord recognizes, hey, I need to fix this because I have a wife that's doing the right thing and I'm the one messing up. That's messing it up for both of us. Like, I'm leading both of us astray. And so that's not where we as husbands want to be. It's the same kind of role with parents and kids. Like, you don't have to agree with what your parents are telling you to do. The important, like, element for kids is to obey, to submit to the authority, because when you are under the protection of your parents and you're doing what they say, even if what they're telling you is wrong, by obeying, you're doing what's right. And so, like, God will bless that. If you read that next verse in verse 3, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Like, God's going to bless you in your life if you can learn how to submit to your parents. At the ages that you're at now, God will bless you, and, you know, it will impact and change the way that you live your life if you can be obedient to your parents. God's going to bless you regardless of, you know, whether you agree with what your parents are saying or doing or not. You know, God blesses that. And so I know some of you guys have parents who are lost. Some of you guys have parents who are saved. If your parents who are lost are telling you, you know, like, hey, you can't go to church, or you can't do this thing, or I don't want you doing X, Y, and Z, I mean, as hard as it might be, you have to submit to what they say, even if the answer is because I said so. And so, you know, learning obedience when the stakes are low, and I know, like, the stakes don't seem low because it's a big deal in your life when Your parents tell you you can't do what you want to do. You know, you can't go to that friend's house. You can't go to that dance. You can't do this thing. You can't, whatever. You can't stay up later. Whatever, whatever, whatever. Fill in the blank of whatever thing that your parents are stopping you from enjoying. I know the stakes seem really high at that point, but learning to obey when the stakes are low is extremely important and valuable for the rest of your life, because there will be higher stakes things later on in your life that you're going to be able to, like when you've exercised that muscle of humility and of submitting and of not getting what you want because you're obedient to the person that's above you, you know, like there's a lot of value in that. Even when, you know, the stakes seem high now, they're going to be even higher later. And so if you can learn them now when the stakes are low, it's really going to benefit you, in the long run. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 15 real quick. You can hold your place in Ephesians if you didn't already shut it. This is a fairly well-known verse. I like this. 1 Samuel is my favorite book in the Bible. I think most of you guys know that, but, 1 Samuel 15. Just chill. So there's a lot of pictures and types in the Bible. God uses pictures and types all throughout the Bible to help teach us, you know, important truths. And those things, you know, a true picture or a true type, you know, is something in the Old Testament that points to something in the New Testament. But just applicationally, there's a lot of things throughout the Old and New Testament that we can take from the Bible and we can apply to our life, and we can see the picture that's being presented, and it helps us to understand, like, the truth of the situation that we find ourselves in. So, like, for me, when I became a parent, you know, it was within, you know, it was probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 years into the time that I was a parent, and I started to realize, like, as I'm telling my kids to do something, I can hear, like, not physically or audibly, but, like, I can imagine God saying something similar to me, you know, like, hey, stop doing this thing. And I can just hear God saying, yeah, that's me telling you, stop doing this thing. Okay. Or I can tell my kids every day, you know, take out the trash, feed the dogs, do the dishes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a reminder, like when I say those things, it's like I can hear God saying, hey, Luke, you need to be reading your Bible. You need to be praying. You need to be doing these things. I have to tell you this every day, right? Why do I have to keep reminding you? Maybe your parents have said that to you guys before. Why do I have to remind you all the time to do this thing? Okay, that's the same kind of way that God deals with us as parents sometimes, and you guys as kids. Like, sometimes God has to remind us over and over and over through the conviction of the Holy Spirit to do the things that we know we're supposed to do. And so, like, as my kids got older to where I was having to repeat myself, and like, it's just a reminder to me that God, you know, is constantly having to repeat himself. And I don't want to make God have to repeat himself every day. I don't want to tell my kids every single day to remind them to do the basic things, brush your teeth, you know, like all the things, right? Those are like the basic things that if it's something you do every day or you're supposed to do every day, then you should remember it on your own. And I shouldn't have to tell you, especially like at the ages that you guys are at now. Okay. Once you've been a Christian for a little bit and you've had a relationship with God, you know, you shouldn't have to be reminded to read your Bible. You shouldn't have to be reminded to pray. You shouldn't have to be reminded to show up to church. You shouldn't have to be reminded to bring your Bible to church. You shouldn't have to be reminded for, like, some of these basic things, walking with the Lord. You should learn those things. Like, it's not, like, super complicated. And so, as our relationship, my relationship towards my kids, the older I get, the older they get, the more I hear God when I'm giving them direction and correction and instruction or whatever, the more I hear God saying those same kinds of things to me. So God gives us all these pictures. I know none of you guys other than these two are parents, but like you can start to understand like the relationships that we have here on this earth help us to identify and recognize the relationship that we have in heaven with our Heavenly Father. And there's just a lot of parallels between that God can teach us things. And so as kids, when you guys hear your parents repeating themselves, oh, and they're saying the same things over and over to you, and you roll your eyes at them, and you're like, I'm sick of you telling me this all the time, or whatever you say, or hopefully you don't say it out loud. But, you know, however you handle those situations, I know none of us like to hear those things, but use that, like, help, use those, you know, admonitions from your parents as reminders that, like, God is also trying to nudge you. And one of the ways he does that at your age is to just remind you to be obedient. Like, that's one of the basic things that you should do every single day that we don't always do. All right, so 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 21 says, but the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? So he's asking them this kind of rhetorical question. He's like, hey, does God take as much delight? Does he enjoy or appreciate these offerings and sacrifices as much as he just does in you obeying his voice? And then he answers his own question. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So he's telling them, like, hey, obedience, he's telling this to adults, right? Obeying the voice of the Lord is more important than the sacrifices and the offerings. God values your obedience more than he values the sacrifices. Okay? You know, so there's a lot of truth in that for all of us as adults or kids. Like, there's value in obeying. God values that. He places that very high. Think about how much time in the Old Testament he spends on laying out, if you've ever read through Leviticus and Numbers and parts of Exodus, he lays out so much of this, the detail around the burnt offerings. And so you, like, if sometimes when you're reading through it, you're just like, this is so boring. I cannot even keep straight what he's talking about. You know, cubits and, you know, all these different measurements and all these different, if you do this, then you need this many of this kind of animal, or this many of this kind of animal, and this many of this kind of, and it's just like, you read it and it's, sometimes it's hard to read through because it's just like, this is just, it's like reading, you know, the law. You are reading the law. It's kind of dry reading. But, like, why does he spend two or three books of his Bible talking about these sacrifices? And then he comes along with this little nugget and says, hey, obedience is more important than these things. You know, like, we know he values sacrifice and offerings very high, right? He sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross as the ultimate sacrifice and offering for us. And so if he values obedience over sacrifices and offerings, well, we should practice working on our obedience. Like, that's what he wants more than anything else, is obedience. And so when we're back in, go back to Ephesians chapter 6, when he's going through all these different relationships, parent to child, father to children, servant to master, master to servant, like, it's all about understanding your role. Like, all of us are going to fall, you know, in this spectrum from, you know, the ultimate authority, which is God, all the way to down to a baby who has no authority over anyone and is subject to pretty much everyone. Like, all of us, you know, throughout our life are going to be somewhere up and down that spectrum. And so we're going to be under authority to some people and over others in authority. And that, navigating that takes, like, being able to lead people and being able to, like, exercise authority over people, you have to understand how to be under authority in order to do that. So, like, the military is, you know, a really good, like, physical example of that. Like, you have to go through, you know, boot camp and all the basic, you have to work your way up the ladder. You know, you have to do, you have to be able to meet certain physical and intelligence type of things to be able to move up in your ranks, right? You have to spend so many years or so many months or whatever the minimums are to be able to level up in your rankings within the military. And, you know, when the higher you get, the more you recognize, oh, there's a lot more to this. And that's why my old boss, you know, my old sergeant or whoever, that's why I always hated whenever they made me do this. But now that I'm in that position and I'm making other people do that, now I see it from a different perspective, because now I'm seeing a bigger piece of the pie, and now I'm understanding, oh, this is why they made me do this grunt work that I hated, is because, you know, it ties into the whole, you know, the whole military, the whole unit or the whole base or whatever in a different way. And the higher up that you get, you understand that. But you have to be under other people's authority to be able to recognize that. And then the more you're under authority, the more that helps you to understand the authority that you were under, and to be hopefully kinder to those people and maybe give them a little bit more vision and things about that. And so while you're now under the authority of your parents and you maybe don't always understand or see the big picture of everything, the older you get and once you're out of your parents' household and now you're under, you know, the authority of the law and your boss and all these other authorities, you know, your eyes will probably be opened to, you know, oh, maybe that's why my parents did it this way, or maybe I should have, you know, I should have learned this or that thing back when they were trying to teach me, back when it wasn't, you know, such a big deal. Because, you know, at some point, you know, you're going to have to be under authority to a boss who, you know, is in charge of, you know, making sure that you get your paycheck so you can, you know, keep your lights on and feed your family and all that stuff. Like, you know, the stakes are going to be a lot higher in those cases. And you can't just fly off the handle and argue with your boss because you might lose your job, right? Like Phil's talked about firing the guys that he works with because they did stupid stuff. And so, like, you got to let them go. Well, that impacts other areas of their, like, all other areas of their life. How are they going to pay their rent and their car payment, keep their lights on, and all that stuff? Like, that impacts all of that because they didn't understand how to be under authority and how they knew what the rules were. They knew what they were supposed to do. They did not obey that. And then there's a big consequences. Like in your house, you know, with obeying your parents, the consequences are generally small. You know, it's going to be grounding. It's going to be losing something. It's going to be losing a privilege or losing some kind of freedom or, you know, whatever. But all in all, the stakes are pretty low. And so you get to practice and you get to get the reps in, at the lower stakes so that when you get to the higher stakes and you get in a situation where, okay, you've yelled at your parents, they've taken away whatever they've taken away, or they've punished you in whatever way they punish you, you know, hopefully later on in your life, like when you really want to fly off the handle again, that pops back into your mind. You remember, oh, last time I did this, the consequences were not fun. And if I do it right now, you know, to this cop, I'm going to get arrested, or to my boss, I'm going to get fired, or whatever the case may be, the consequences are going to be more severe, more dramatic. And so God wants us to learn these principles when we're young. That's why he addresses children with this commandment to obey their parents. And I'm not going to read the rest of the passage that we already read, but just a few points to look at. Verse 5 says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." There's a verse, I wrote it down. Yeah, Luke chapter 22, you don't have to turn there. Verse 42, Jesus is in the garden and he's praying. And if you remember the story right before he's, you know, he's hours before his crucifixion. And he says, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Okay, so Jesus in, you know, what is getting ready to be the most physical and spiritual and emotionally traumatic event of his lifetime. And remember, Jesus is eternal. Like the most traumatic, dramatic experience that he's getting ready to go through, he's like freaking out a little bit. And he's telling God, like, "Hey, if there's any way this can pass from me, like I would prefer that. But if, you know, if not, then let your will be done and not mine." And being, you know, subject to, you know, under authority. Again, Jesus Christ is, he is God in the flesh, right? But when he was on the earth, he was subject to the Father. And so he's telling God the Father, like, "Hey, I know this is what we agreed on. We've talked about this. Like, I know this is what has to happen. But if there's any other opportunity, any other way that this can happen, help me out here. But regardless, your will be done, not my will be done." And so if Jesus Christ can submit himself and not, you know, pull himself out of that situation, you know, then we should be able to, you know, look for ways that we can submit and fall in line, whether it's to our parents or like this, verses 5 and 6 here, talking about, to our masters, right? To our bosses, to those that are over us, outside of our parents. And, there's a parallel passage to this passage in Colossians chapter 3, like verses, I think it's 18 to whatever the last verse in that chapter is, 25 maybe. It's a very similar passage, similar order, similar, talks about doing all things as unto the Lord. Okay, so whether it's obeying your parents, whether it's, you know, for me and Phil as fathers, like we should parent as unto the Lord. You guys should serve your parents, like obey your parents as unto the Lord. Pretend that you're obeying God, because by obeying your parents, you are obeying the Lord. If you're a, you know, an employee, if you're a student at school, like obey the people that are in charge of you as unto the Lord. We should do those things as if we're doing it to the Lord, because we are, you are. That is how you serve the Lord. Like there's a lot of ways that you can serve God. You know, you can do ministry, you can share the gospel, you can read your Bible, you can spend time in prayer, you can grow like, you know, spiritually yourself. Those are all ways that you can serve God. But one of the ways you can serve God is obey your parents. Obey your teachers at school. Obey your bosses when you get jobs. Obey the law when you're driving. Like, those are ways that you can serve God, because we're going to talk about this more at camp. The theme of camp is shine, right? Like, our job as Christians is to reflect the light of the gospel to the lost world. And we do that with our mouth sometimes, right? But we do that with our actions all the time. How we navigate ourselves, you know, in public, you go to a store, you go to school, you go to a job, you go to a restaurant, like the way that you act in those places is a direct reflection on God. Like if Christ lives in you and you behave yourself poorly and other people see it, they're gonna identify that, right? But if you behave yourself in a way that is unique and they don't see that all the time, people are also gonna recognize that. And I'm not saying strangers are gonna walk up to you and say what's different about you, although they might. But you know, when you do speak to that person, they're gonna remember all of those times that they identified that you were acting and living your life a different way. So the importance of learning like how to be under authority and how to be in authority, like those are going to be super practical your entire life. You never, like, I have not mastered how to submit to authority. Like, just because I'm up here teaching doesn't mean that I know exactly how to do all of this stuff. But like, we learn, like it's a constant process of growth. But if you can learn to apply where you are now to obey your parents, it's going to serve you in all areas of your physical life and in your spiritual life. And God's going to bless that. He says in, verse 8 of this passage, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And so he's telling him, like, hey, if you just do the stuff, you know, that's going to come back in blessings. And it's not a one-to-one. It's not, I do this because God promised me a blessing. It's not karma. It's not any of that stuff. But there is, you know, truth to the fact that God blesses those who are obedient and he doesn't bless those who are not obedient. Like, you can see that all throughout the whole Bible. And just because, you know, the Bible is done being written doesn't mean that that truth is any less true in our life today. If you obey, God's going to bless you. It may not be in the way that you think or in the way that you want him to necessarily, but God is always going to bless obedience because that's what he prioritizes, because he values that more than sacrifice. Okay, 8 o'clock on the nose. Anybody have any questions?